Welcome to another episode of Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast channel. I hope everyone is doing okay out there, man. It is a bloodbath on the charts recently. Bitcoin just touched and is currently touching 69K, the top from the previous cycle, and I know that's got a lot of people spooked out there. But if you can keep your wits about you at times like these and not let your emotions take control, these are the moments when fortunes are made. So don't leverage yourself, just buy the dip. Or if you want to take all the stress out of it, set up automatic buys on Bitcoin Well and let the power of dollar cost averaging do all the work for you. That way you don't have to worry about it. You put in the money that you plan on buying Bitcoin with, and you let us buy it over time for you with automatic buys. As for show news, we've officially started all of our podcasts, which you can hear on Apple, Spotify, or any other podcatcher of your choice, as well as YouTube. We have Answers with our CEO, Adam, where he will be answering Bitcoin questions sent in by you, the audience. We have Explains, where I'll be doing a deep dive into Bitcoin, starting with the origins of money and why we need Bitcoin, and covering everything from how Bitcoin works to self-custody walkthroughs. And we have this show you're listening to right now, where we'll do philosophical deep dives into Bitcoin and human nature and everything in between. But I digress. Today, we have a twofer on the menu. The first piece is about money and how it relates to the story of our sovereignty. And then, not so completely unrelated, we have a follow-up piece about why self-custody of Bitcoin is a needed piece of the puzzle. So thank you for tuning in, enjoy the show, and feel free to send me any questions or feedback, including questions you'd like Adam to answer on his show. Send them to my email, z.adair@gmail.com. That's z.addair@gmail.com. And remember, don't let the charts get you down. Now is the time for learning, building, and touching grass. Enjoy the show. Money and Freedom, the Story of Our Sovereignty, by Ulysses Alfaro. Throughout history, money has done more than store value. It has shaped how free we are. Every shift in the way we trade has also been a shift in who controls our lives and how we live our lives. In the earliest days, trade was simple. I have what you need, and you have what I need. Barter worked, but only when coincidence allowed it. If no one wanted your goats for their grain, you were stuck. Freedom existed, but it was fragile, limited by proximity and circumstance. It was a time when value was personal and immediate, something you could touch, trade, and trust. Yet freedom then was small, bound by what you could carry and who you could meet. As trade grew, barter began to break down. People needed something that held value beyond the moment, something that everyone agreed was worth having. So communities began turning to commodities, shells, salt, cattle, beads, even stones, and salt preserved food. Cattle provided labor and milk. Shells symbolized beauty and scarcity. Each carried intrinsic value, real-world utility that gave money its first form of trust. But as trade networks expanded, these items became harder to move, divide, and measure. You couldn't easily split a cow or haul enough salt across long distances to settle a debt. The more people traded, the more they realized that money needed to be something portable, durable, and scarce. Freedom was growing, but it was still heavy to carry. Gold gave trade durability, portability, and a shared understanding of value. Gold was freedom made tangible. No third party could debase it. No ruler could print more of it. Gold was the first money that belonged to no one and everyone at once. But storing and moving gold safely was hard. Over time, people began trusting others to hold it for them, and in doing so, they traded some freedom for convenience. What started as a practical solution slowly became a pattern. Every innovation in money made life easier, but also more dependent? How much freedom are we willing to trade for convenience? Paper money was born from trust, notes backed by gold, redeemable on demand. But that promise was broken when governments cut the tie to gold. Money became an instrument of policy, not value. Printing money became easier than earning it. Inflation turned into a tax no one voted for. The illusion of freedom persisted, but the control had shifted from the individual to the state. People still felt free because their pockets were full, but what filled them was debt, not wealth. The system rewarded trust and authority over trust and value. At what point did we stop asking what our money is and start simply accepting what we're told it's worth? Then came Bitcoin, a borderless, permissionless, finite form of money. Bitcoin doesn't ask for trust. It enforces it through code, cryptography, and consensus. It isn't backed by promises or policies. It's backed by math and energy. For the first time in history, anyone anywhere can store, send, and receive value across borders. In a world where every currency can be printed at will, this one is different. It has rules without rulers. Bitcoin restores individual sovereignty, not through violence or politics, but through voluntary participation in a system no one owns and everyone can verify. Bitcoin is a return to first principles, back to value rooted in effort, back to ownership without permission, and back to truth without trust. If money tells the story of a civilization's value, what story are we telling right now? Why Self-Custody of Bitcoin is Needed by Conrad Fitzpatrick. Let's talk about control. Not just the kind you see in politics, but the control over what you can say, what you can spend, and ultimately how you live. It's creeping into every part of our lives, and if you're paying attention, you've already seen it happen. Remember the Canadian truckers protest? If you donated just $50, you had your bank accounts frozen and all financial access cut off, not because of criminal activity, but because the government at the time didn't like what you stood for. Look at donations to Palestine. Many financial institutions are outright blocking donations to causes supporting folks struggling to survive in Gaza. China, censorship isn't just about speech, it's about access to money too. Completely cutting people off from being able to participate in the economy. Economic strangulation is real and a growing government control tactic. You see the pattern? It doesn't matter what your politics are. If you step too far outside the accepted lines, you'll be cut off. Your money is no longer yours if someone else can decide when you can access it. If you think this level of control is new, think again. In 1933, Executive Order 6102 forced Americans to hand over their gold to the government under the threat of fines and jail time. Why? Because gold was real money, and the government wanted to control the monetary system to finance its growth in spending and services. Gold at this time was $35 an ounce. Today, it's worth thousands per ounce. The dollar, meanwhile, has lost 99% of its value in that same period. Then came 1971. Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard completely, meaning the dollar was no longer backed by anything tangible. Since then, the government has printed money at will, inflating the currency and making everything more expensive over time. And yet, we're supposed to trust this system? Our money is no longer tied to gold or anything of value. Fiat money has value simply because government says it does. But history proves that this system is built on a lie. The more they print, the less your money is worth. It's not about helping the economy or fighting inflation. It's about making sure you stay dependent on the system. And when people get too self-sufficient, that's when they start pulling tricks like EO 6102. Bitcoin fixes this. Governments can seize gold. They can freeze your bank accounts. They can tell you what you can and can't spend money on, but they cannot control Bitcoin. Bitcoin is money that exists outside of their system. It can't be inflated away. It can't be seized by decree. It allows people to transact freely, regardless of politics, geography, or financial status. Whether you're protesting in Ottawa, donating to survivors in Palestine, or living under Chinese financial surveillance, Bitcoin is the escape hatch. Freedom isn't just about what you can say, it's about what you can do. If your ability to transact is controlled, then your ability to live freely is controlled. Bitcoin is the tool that breaks those chains. It's not just an investment, it's not just digital gold, it's a lifeline. It's the difference between having control over your future or waiting for the next decree to tell you what you can or can't do with your own money. Governments will always try to tighten their grip. History proves it. But Bitcoin gives you the power to break free. The question is, will you use it? Bitcoin Well exists to enable independence. We do this by coupling the convenience of modern banking with the benefits of Bitcoin. In other words, we want to make it easy to use Bitcoin in self-custody. Check us out at bitcoinwell.com.